The following message is by Pastor Jason Drapeau, Senior Pastor of Winchester Community Church in West Seneca, New York. More information about Winchester Community Church can be found at www.wincc.org.
A lot of our lives are spent around meals. Meaningful family time and meal time is a priority for a lot of people. One of my favorite times to get together with others for disciple making and just for a general encouragement is over food and around food. Not just because I do enjoy myself a good meal. I do like to eat. That's no secret at all whatsoever. But also, specifically, I enjoy the time spent when in our busy lives we might just even be able to sit down on our hind parts for a little tiny bit. And for some people, the only time they have to do that is over a meal, is over something to eat. My disciple-making mantra is, everybody's got to eat, so let's sit down and do so together. I know our lives are very hectic and we go scurrying all over the place often, but so many things come together around a table. There are so many instances like this in the church as well. We have food and fellowship together, little gatherings for prayer with the tiny tokens of cookie bites and sweet little treats to eat. And coffee, of course, coffee, copious amounts of coffee in the church. The early church in the first few centuries AD, they did not have coffee, but they had something that they participated in regularly, and they called it the agape, the love feast. It's where they would gather together for worship and fellowship and take communion together as well. We actually here at WinCC had planned a love feast, and we like to do that at least once a year, if not a couple times a year. And we had one slated for the Sunday right after Easter, and because of the coronavirus precautions that everyone is taking, and us included, we're going to have to postpone that. But once we are back together again, we're going to be rescheduling that love feast because it's such a good time that we do have in one another's company. I went to seminary with a colleague who I remember described the particular church background where he grew up in the South, and how church every single Sunday they had lunch together after the worship service. In fact, it was funny because he was explaining to us who maybe we didn't eat together as often with our church families, but he would say that the pastor knew when to wrap up his sermon when he could start smelling the fried chicken cooking in the kitchen in the church basement. Oh yes, and let's close in prayer together. And it was just, and they enjoy food and they go and they eat. So this Maundy Thursday service, we're going to take part in a meal. And if you were following along on the church Facebook page throughout the week, I did encourage and invite and share with you to do your best to have some elements of communion that we can gather together in your home. And I do hope you've provided those. If not, then go ahead. I give you permission to scurry on into the cupboards and grab some saltines and some juice as we'll be partaking in communion virtually. This time of year, as we won't have as many occasions to gather together and do so because of the precautions we're taking one with another. And so it's very fitting that this evening we gather around a meal, and I hope you have made your home ready for this meal and just how important this is in the journey of the Christian faith together. And I'm going to share with you about this particular meal, about a particular meal, I should say, that's very vital and central to the Christian faith. I hope you understand and can relate to what this meal is and what it means. If you know Christ and if you are part of a church family, you might be able to really understand, oh yes, yes, of course, I know that time together, that gathering together. If you are new to us here at WinCC or to the Christian faith, then I just invite you to follow along and to listen, and I'll lead you to Scripture in a little while. But let me just first tell you about this meal that's so important in the life of the Christ follower and in the history of the Christian church. That this meal was gathered together around a table. a small knit unit as a close family. And there were exchanges of pleasantries, as is the case with every meal. But there also was a recognition of the solemnity of this meal, this occasion, for this was a commandment, like I mentioned earlier. The Latin word is mandatum, or where we get the English mandate, commandments. That's the Maundy Thursday, where we recognize this sort of time of year in the Passion Week. So this meal was a mandate from God. It was a commandment from Him. At each place setting, there was a cup, as there would be for each person, and there was a dish for bread. These were broken and to be shared with one another around the table at this solemn meal. Outside, there would be raucousness and chaos. The world going about their tasks, inattentive, I should say, to the compassionate call of God. But inside, there would be a meal shared with one another that would represent those together being spared from all of the outside craziness, if for but just a moment in time. You see, there was this chosen Lamb of God in their midst. There was the blood that was shed, and there was faith and trust in the blood, signifying the adherence of God's covenant to His people. The trust was that whoever believed in and relied upon the blood of the Lamb would be kept safe. There is sin in the world, just like there was at that meal, sin right outside the door of the room and the many rooms where this kind of meal was shared. And there always is grave consequences for sin, the most significant of all being death and separation from God forever, and hell and receiving the wrath of God that we justly deserve. And this death and hell and the wrath of God is right condemnation for whomever does not trust in the blood of this Lamb. But for all who do, and for all who in some respects cover their homes with the blood of the Lamb, well, they would be saved. They are spared, and they are redeemed. The blood of the Lamb was God's great salvation sign. So this meal, in the presence of God's chosen Lamb with the bread and the cup, while the world's consequences of sin went raging on, this meal had special meaning in the life and the significance and the journey of faith. For those of you who know Christ, who understand this Maundy Thursday service, this is a communion service where we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ's Last Supper. Or even if you grew up in different circumstances, maybe you don't know what Maundy Thursday is or means, or you don't understand some symbolicness and some iconic nature of things of faith. You maybe can grasp communion. Here, where we are live streaming from, it is a very predominantly liturgical and Catholic Western New York. And in fact, I was just talking with a friend whose mom is the good Catholic church lady in their neighborhood, and it's not considered a service. It's not considered a true gathering time together unless there's this kind of meal. So you might have, oh yes, I grew up that way, or yes, I understand the meal that you're talking about. I understand. Yes, this is communion. Yes, this is the Lord's Supper. Only you would be wrong in thinking that about what I just shared, that it was that specific meal that I described just then. You see, the meal that I just described was not the Last Supper. It was not Jesus Christ's final meal with His disciples. It was not communion. It was actually a very memorable meal practiced by people for literally thousands of years before Jesus even came to earth as God incarnate. The meal that I just described was first held in Egypt. The people of God were enslaved in a foreign land. They cried out to God to rescue them, to save them in many respects from their oppression. God brought to them a very imperfect leader who was never meant to be the figurehead, but rather just the call of God, as the people trusted in God to lead them themselves. And The people did, and God did follow through in leading his people. You see, there was sin and there was rebellion all around the people of Israel and all of the surrounding places in Egypt where they were enslaved. And God desired to lead his people and would make it to be, even though the leaders in Egypt and all around replied with defiance, no! Their disobedience against God's command was rampant, so there was levied horrific consequences in the form of plagues that God just smattered throughout all of Egypt. And the last of all, the consequence above all else, required that God's people be trusting in him in order to be saved from this consequence themselves. That they'd have to trust in God by faith, that God would institute a command for them to follow. God commanded and indeed mandated the people to, at that time, follow after him in preparing a meal. There was to be a cup for people to drink. There would be quickly made bread, maybe different than we have here, but bread at that meal the same. And there would be as well, in their presence, a lamb who was chosen by God, whose blood would have been shed for the purpose of the people being saved. You see, while the Israelite people were in their homes eating this reverential meal, the angel of death would be sent from God outside, levying the consequence of death as a result of the people of Egypt's sin. But earlier in that night, the people of God who trusted him by faith, they were commanded to choose a perfect lamb, completely free from any spot or blemish, demonstrating to God that the people were not sufficient giving God their leftovers, but rather that they would trust in him in entirety and in sufficiency. And they were to shed the blood of this lamb. They would take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle the blood on the door frames of the homes where they gather together for this meal. In that way, the blood of the lamb was God's great salvation sign. So that inside, when the people were partaking in that meal, God would pass over the homes of those who were marked by the blood of the lamb. In essence, saving those who were within. Both those who were Israelites by birth, living in this foreign land of Egypt, and those who were servants or followers after or friends, even if they were not born into the nation, into the heritage, they still trusting God and being part of that reverential meal were able to be saved. This passing over because of the blood of the Lamb meant that those inside the home were spared, they were redeemed, they were saved from the consequences of sin that were outside. This instituted, this indeed mandated by God in the mid-1400s BC was called Passover. And I invite you and encourage you on your own time, once this live streaming service is over, to read about Passover, this meal, this historically memorable meal in Exodus 12 in the Old Testament. Exodus 12. So make no mistake about it. The Passover instituted by God literally almost 1.5 millennium before Jesus came to earth had unmistakable ties to Jesus' life and to that fulfilled meal that we celebrate this day. The Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, communion. There is an inextricable link, as I'll show you in just a few moments. And make no mistake about it, culturally born Jews and the religion of Judaism still celebrate to this day that old and historical Passover meal every year, even around this very time on the calendar. And make no mistake about it, Christians today are not to celebrate this Jewish Passover meal known as Seder in the Jewish tradition. Because God never intended for the Passover meal to be and to keep and to contain its old meaning. God's intention all along was for the passing over of the consequences of sin and death and being saved because of the blood of the Lamb. This all would find its truest fulfillment in Jesus Christ as a much more substantive and much more significantly meaningful meal than that which was in that historic day. Jesus' Last Supper, called the Lord's Supper, where he had sweet connection, in other words, communion with his closest followers, had fulfilled meaning that was next level and that shows itself in Jesus' own words as he links it with this formerly very common and memorable meal. So I invite you at this time, if you will, to follow along with me as I lead you into God's Word. I invite you to go in your Bibles to Luke 22. As we are now in the presence of Jesus and his disciples, as Jesus is preparing his followers for this last meal that they will share together, this Last Supper. Luke 22, verses 7 through 23. And I invite you to follow along with me as I read. It says this, Luke 22, verse 7, Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover, in other words, when the Passover lamb must be killed, verse 8. And he, Jesus, sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And Jesus said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There, make ready." Verse 13. So they went and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he sat down, Jesus and his disciples, the 12 apostles, with him. Then he, Jesus, said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Verse 17, then he, Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he, Jesus, took bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Verse 20, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table." Verse 22, "And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Friends, I want you to notice some things here in this text. First of all, I want you to see the inextricable link between the Last Supper meal, which we just read here in Luke 22, and the Passover meal. It is obvious and abundant here in this text. Luke, who writes and recounts, God-breathed by God the Holy Spirit, he does so and he pens these words in a meticulous and detail-oriented manner. Luke is a doctor, a kind of scientist of sorts, and is a very educated man. How he writes and what he emphasizes is not only what God desired, but it is also part and parcel of the man that God chose to write this historical narrative account of Jesus' life and ultimately Jesus' final day before Christ's crucifixion on the cross. Here in Luke, and in this text in Luke, there is explicit and specifically clear mention of Passover 5 times. I hope you saw that, and I hope it was so clear to you that it just popped off the page. Passover in verse 7, and Passover in verse 8, and specifically Passover in verse 11, and there's Passover in verse 13, and Passover in verse 15. It's so apparent. Now, scholars and historians, both Christians in their faith position and Jewish in their historical traditions as well, they might debate as to whether Jesus' Last Supper was indeed a formal Jewish Passover meal, again called a Seder in the Jewish tradition. That's not for me to comment on in this time, and I'm not going to suggest one way or another. It could have been a Passover meal, that Jesus' Last Supper was the very same hour that Jews all over Jerusalem were celebrating that Passover meal historically as well. Certainly could have been. It could have been that Jesus' Last Supper was the night before, as there was preparation for this Passover meal, and Jesus, the true Lamb of God, who John says takes away the sin of the world, that could have been Jesus' sacrificial hour, was the very same hour that the Passover lamb was sacrificed in their tradition. It could be either or, and that's not for me to wax theological on at this time. But as I stated earlier, it's something that's so amazing and powerful and true that there's a link between the Last Supper and the Passover. And once again, I am not at all advocating, I do not believe that Christians and Jews should share this kind of similar meal together, Christians partaking in Jewish Seder meals or things like that. Because after all, it's the same thing, right? No, it is not the same. In fact, Jesus himself says this, and this is what I desire to say, what Jesus has said. Luke 22, verses 15 and 16. He is with his followers, again, the night before the Passover meal or the Passover hour itself. And Jesus says, with fervent desire, Luke 22, 15, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled, find its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. The fulfillment of the Passover is the very significance of Jesus' hour going to the cross, to which we recognize and celebrate the Last Supper is emblematic of. Yet the bread is reminding us of Jesus' body, which was broken on that cross. Back then, the bread was just a necessary element of the meal. You know, it was unleavened bread. It was made quickly without yeast because of how God mandated the Passover. But now, the bread symbolizes Jesus' body, which is the only way that we could experience eternity with God. Not a man's body being beaten up for another man, but God in the flesh, his body being broken for us. Speaking of a broken body, the blood. Back then, it wasn't blood in the cup, it was what was normal for the Passover meal, but the blood on the outside of the home was the lamb's blood sprinkled on the door frames of those who trusted in God to save them from the angel of death and the consequences of sin. But now, Jesus Christ's blood shed on the cross is sufficient sacrifice to atone or pay for or satisfy the wrath of God and the consequences of our sin and our wrongs forever, for eternity. Heaven is our home if we believe. It's not a one-time saved situation. It is a forever salvation for those who have faith and trust in this blood. No longer death and no longer hell. And the Lamb. Back then, it was just a spotless lamb chosen from the flock to symbolize that the people were giving God their best. But now, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, again like John says in John 1:29, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, this Lamb, perfect and spotless forever. Jesus, the God-man, the only perfect living person, glorious in his divine perfections, yet taking his divine place on a sinner's soil. God incarnate. All of this as it is written, almost 1,500 years prior to Jesus' Last Supper, prior to taking its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Friends, it's amazing to see that God didn't just bring about things suddenly and spontaneously. But God laid out for us the cues and the clues so that we could know that when Jesus arrived, Lamb takes away sin, blood, the Lamb, God's salvation sign, a special meal, Passover fulfilled in the kingdom of God. It is Christ. It is pointing to Christ all along. We invite you now, friends, to trust in Christ. To not just let a similar, religiously iconic meal stay as such. You see, we gather together so much in our lives around a table and around a meal. And one day as well, this communion meal, this supper together, will have its even more glorious fulfillment around the table of God in heaven. But just like that time in Egypt, where the blood of the Lamb was God's great salvation sign, and just like that time with Jesus and his disciples, where the blood of the Lamb on that cross would be that salvation, atoning, sacrificial mark and truth and sign. That feast of the Lamb in heaven for eternity is only for those who trust in the blood of the Lamb as God's salvation sign. So at this time, we have time to celebrate and to arrive at the table reverently and with great confession. And friends, I invite you, wherever you are and wherever you may be picking up this service, this sermon, I invite you to not let another meal go by. To not let the blood of the Lamb be passed by you one more time. Let the blood of the Lamb be what you trust in. Jesus Christ, the one Lamb of God who takes away sin. So that this meal would mean that you are God's. And that it is fulfilled for you, this great sign. Please join me as we pray. O God, we now come and invite you to draw us near together, even if we are far in presence, if we are far apart in physical distance. Draw us near, O God, as a result of this meal, this communion. Bring us to the table, O Lord, where we might see and understand Jesus, the Lamb of God, who rescues the souls of women and men. O God, I ask and I pray that if there is any here who is listening to or watching, who is not yet fully convinced or committed to Jesus, I pray, O God, that you would take something like a 1,500-year-old meal and the amazing parallels of it with the Last Supper meal and the incredible truths of it that will find its fulfillment in a heavenly feasted meal. You'd bring all of those connections together to the doubter, the skeptic, the cynic, or the religiously disenchanted, O Lord, that just think this is another Eucharistic gathering. Oh no, God. We need to have communion with you, and that means nearness and fellowship with you, eternal salvation measures from you, Jesus, in our heart forever, not just this day. So God, do what only you can do, I pray. And may it be that people see through the symbols and the significances of these things that are important. May they see you, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, O God, for the table. Thank you for the feast. Thank you for the bread, your body. Thank you for the cup, your blood. Thank you for eternal life, O God. Thank you for the cross. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, I invite our good brother and elder in the church, Peter, to come on up and go ahead and grab that mic, Peter, if you would. And at this time, we're going to lead you where you are, either here in our presence or at home in our midst. We're going to lead you to a time of communion. I invite you to take whatever you have there in your home, and as I guide and instruct you, and as we are led and guided here as well, we're going to partake in this Last Supper, this Lord's Supper, this communion together. Scripture says that Jesus, as was read there, and is the case in other passages in the New Testament of the Bible as well, Jesus there with his followers, he took the bread and he broke it, and he took the cup and he passed it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, this is my body." He said, "Take this cup and drink, this is my blood." And these things we are to do in remembrance of Jesus. The bread is not Jesus' literal body. It reminds us, it's a remembrance of the cross where Jesus' body was beaten. And the cup is not Jesus, it's not Jesus' blood. It reminds us, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," as we are reminded of the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. And so, as we prepare ourselves, and as I invite you to prepare your hearts, Peter, would you lead us in prayer?
Well, Father God, we do thank you so much for what you did for us. Lord, you left your throne. You left the glories of heaven. You left the worship of heaven. And the Bible says that you humbled yourself and you became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, you said that no one takes my life from me. I give it on my own and I take it back again. Lord, you were born in a humble stable. You grew up, ministered, healed. And Father, then you went to a cross. And Lord, you took all the wrath of God that I deserve, that we deserve, on yourself. You shed your blood, your broken body. And Lord, we are so grateful. I thank you so much for what you did, for what you've done. Father God, I pray that you would be with everyone that's at home, Lord, as we eat this meal together. And God, I pray, the Lord, that it will show forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you came, you died on a cross to save us. And we thank you so much for your shed blood and your broken body, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, when he was there at that meal, it says that Jesus took bread And he blessed it, and he broke it. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." In just a moment's time, I invite you to take the bread, whatever you have set aside in your homes. And if maybe not even at this time, another time. And oh, what a joy it will be to worship together again as well in one another's presence when we can partake in communion together as a family, as a church family, and as a community. But when Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me," Jesus desired for his followers to know that the cross is where he was going, and the cross is what was meant all along. As the bread of the of that very old and Egypt-centered memorable meal was meant to represent Jesus' body from the beginning. So I invite you at this time to, like Jesus said, take the bread, Jesus' body, as he said, this represents, and do this in remembrance of me. So I invite you at this time to take the bread together. Scripture says as well that Jesus, he took the cup. And he said, "This is my blood of the covenant." What an amazing connection there as well, again. You see, the people in Egypt, even former and after, they were bound to God by a covenant, a connection that God had and made with his people. And Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness, the remission of sins." And in the same way, I invite you where you are, either here in our presence or home or afar, to take the cup. And as Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you." This cup symbolizes Jesus' blood. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So I invite you to take the cup together. Oh, the meaningfulness of this meal is so far more than just ancient and memorableness of history past. It finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. That God left his throne, just like Brother Peter prayed. He left his heavenly exalted worship and traded it for flesh. Laid aside his divine prerogatives and became obedient to death on a cross. And boy, I don't know that his disciples really fully understood or knew. But we, on this side of the cross, we have opportunity to know. And friends, I do invite you to know this Jesus, to know this meal, to know this sacrifice, and to trust and believe in it for your salvation, because the blood of the Lamb, the broken body of the Son of God, is God's great salvation sign. Please join me as we bring to close this evening service and as we worship with one more reprise. I'll ask Rebecca to come up this time as well. Oh God, who would have thought? I know that there are plenty even to this day, many in ancient traditions, in customs of their own historical followings that still didn't think or don't think that the Passover has fulfillment in God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. That it's all pointing to Jesus all along. And the Last Supper meal pointing us to the cross all along. And even this week,
pointing us to the next day in the calendar, that being Friday, tomorrow, Good Friday, where we understand and are reminded of the cross. Jesus, I ask that this very hour you would pass over sin because of the faith of those who hear and believe. I pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would tinge the hearts of those who are watching or listening, and that you would do incredible work to draw them to you, Jesus, powerfully, wonderfully. Almighty Father, I ask, we ask for something that only you can do, and that is redemption. That you, O God, you have wrath assigned for all who are lost in sin. But you have made a way. You have a kingdom plan to save through Jesus. If we trust in you, Jesus, we are saved. If we trust in the blood of the Lamb, then the angel of death and wrath and hell passes right over us because we are identified by the blood of the Lamb. Oh God, I pray that you would bring salvation to those who hear this very hour. Thank you, O Lord Jesus Christ, for your atonement, for your sacrifice. We worship you and declare your truth as we close this evening's service together.